And now more of Inside Central Oregon.
Hi, it's Dave Clemens, and in the studio with me right now, I have my friend Molly Honia. She is a development and communications coordinator for Think Wild. Glad to have you back.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, how are you?
Doing pretty well. We're coming off a pretty busy season at Think Wild. Summertime is always the busiest as far as wildlife patients in our wildlife hospital.
So tell me, what happened unique this season?
We had our first ever bobcat patients at Think Wild. We've now treated three separate bobcats. Two of them are still in our care. They were rescued as little tiny kittens, orphaned from their parents. So they'll overwinter with us, practice catching live prey. And
they will go back to the wild,
around.
Though?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so they're they should go back to near the Tyg Valley in March when they're... That's kind of when bobcats would normally disperse from their moms.
Where's that?
Up towards Maupin area.
Oh, okay. Kind of, did you see Tyg Valley?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, got it. Tyg Valley, yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of bobcats up there?
They had at least two, and they'll have two again.
So that's where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Are bobcats like cougars where they've got that huge territory they need, or do they need a little less area?
They'll range pretty far. Depends on resource availability. If there's enough prey and water and things nearby, they'll stick pretty close. But as they disperse from mom and each other, they do establish new territory.
Now, will these two guys, when they get released, will they be buddies, or do they spread out?
They'll probably spread out, but we're not totally sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. And then a third bobcat was hit by a car near Burns. We brought him in. He wouldn't eat at first. So we were really concerned. And then as soon as we provided live mice, he changed his mind and decided he wanted to be a wild animal again.
So
he recovered from his injuries, did have the end of his tail amputated. So he's even more bobbed than before.
Sure.
He's back in the Burns area.
Okay. Oh, so he's already been dropped off.
Yep, he got released last week.
Now, is there any way you guys check on him after or not really?
We don't really monitor species after we release them unless someone is doing a study on them. So we did have a Lewis's woodpecker this summer. They're a species of greatest concern. And ODFW put a little tracker backpack on him before we released him back at Shevlin Park. And then he was picked up on a radio tracking tower near Medford.
Oh,
so he's heading south for the winter.
That's a woodpecker?
Mm-hmm.
A bird?
Yep. Yeah, so he flew all the way from here down to first Klamath Falls and then over to Medford and is probably headed to the Central Valley of California for the winter.
Wow. And then he'll come back.
Mm-hmm. Presumably, they'll come back to this area for the summertime when there's plenty of bugs and things to eat up here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, this summer, you guys do a whole lot of stuff with beavers.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal there? Do we have a lot of beavers around here?
We do. We have some beavers in Central Oregon. We ideally would have more. The whole state used to be very abundant as far as beavers and wetlands and their habitats. And then because of the fur trade, they were hunted nearly to extinction. So we do a lot of work in beaver habitat to try to improve the habitat and set the stage for beavers to come back and repopulate.
I've read that they're actually very beneficial for some habitats because of the way they dam up water and such.
Yeah, so the damming behavior, it slows up the water, it adds to water retention and filtration, so it improves water quality downstream. And then all of that raising of the water table upstream means plants survive better, there's more habitat for animals. It also leads to drought tolerance and fire tolerance because wet meadows don't burn like dry forests do.
Sure. Okay. So save the beavers. Right. And they're making a comeback?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen quite a lot of beaver activity in our planting sites and work areas. We do trail camera monitoring of our planting sites to kind of check on who's active in those areas. And then we just started a brand new beaver monitoring program so people can come out and volunteer with us. And they're out in the Malheur National Forest looking for signs of beaver, so chewed on stumps and trees and things, tracks near waterways, beaver poop, things like that.
With the beavers, do you guys ever actually have them? I mean, have you guys actually had to rehabilitate a beaver or anything like that?
Yeah, we've treated a few beavers at the Wildlife Hospital. Sometimes they come in. We had one that got caught kind of in an awkward place in a fish ladder near Pelton Dam. He just sort of got caught and then got very hungry. So just needed a few days of willows and, tasty snacks. And he got released back to the wild. Pretty uncommon to find younger beavers, but we are working on building an enclosure that would be appropriate for long-term care if we had beavers or river otters in the future.
How many animals do you usually have over there?
At any given time, it depends on the season. I think our max number was like 58
oh, wow.
patients at once in the middle of the summer. I think right now we have about 25. And in the entire year, last year in 2024, we treated 852 animals.
Wow. Is it always birds and mammals, or do you sometimes deal with, do you deal with reptiles? Or
yeah, we get
like
the
that?
Occasional call about a reptile or an amphibian. We released a rubber boa, this really small, kind of small brown native snake that we have that got caught in a glue trap. So we think maybe there was a mouse or some other animal that got caught in the trap first, and the snake came to check things out and got glued up. So we removed him from that glue trap and gave him a few days of mouse food and sent him back to the wild.
Well, I'm horrified to know that we have something called a boa living in.
They're pretty cute, docile area. little snakes. Yeah, they're they have a really blunt tail, so it's hard to tell the tail from the snout end.
Oh, that's funny.
And they're often like along the river trail, you might see them, or canal areas. They're pretty common.
Have you ever dealt with we've got the one poisonous snake here, right? I mean, the rattler would be the only poisonous snake
we have, right? We get calls about snakes sometimes. People worried about, hey, I saw a rattlesnake near my home, sure. things like that. So we recommend super close to your house in areas where you wouldn't want rattlesnakes to keep brush trimmed up high, remove rock piles and log piles and things that might be encouraging snake habitat. Snakes like to eat frogs, so ponds that have frogs in them, likely there are snakes around. But further out from your house, having snakes in your area is really beneficial if you want to control rodent populations, and they're great for the ecosystem.
You guys have tips on the website and plus the hotline, right? If somebody has, I mean, whether it's a reptile or a bird or a mammal, amphibian, whatever, did I cover them all?
No.
You guys have ideas on how to relocate or deal with these animals without going to the step of actually eliminating them, right?
Yep. Yeah, we have a whole Humane Wildlife Services program, so we can, over the phone or email, offer free consultations. Like, here's the best options for what you have going on. A lot of times it's just a matter of removing food sources, water sources, and access points. So if you don't want raccoons living under your deck, you should fence off the bottom of your deck and remove, don't feed dogs or cats outside, remove trash and make sure things like that are secured. We'll also come out to people's homes and install that fencing, or like a one-way door so the raccoon can leave but not come back, or patch a hole where the bats are getting into your attic and things like that. And then on the flip side, we'll also install wildlife habitat features. So we'll put up a nest box for a northern flicker away from your house, so he's got a better spot to build his nest than in your siding, or sure. a bat box so they can nest or roost in their bat box instead of your eaves or attic.
All right. Thinkwildco.org. Yeah. What's the hotline number?
It's 541-241-8680.
Hey, we're talking to Molly. She's the development and communications coordinator for Think Wild. Thank you so much for coming
in.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Don't forget about that chili cook-off coming up and everything else that you guys do. Get signed up for that newsletter. Again, it's thinkwildco.org. That's the website.
Yep.
Or thinkwildco. Find you on social media.
Yep.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Do you have questions, comments, or a topic for Inside Central Oregon? Send your comments to Horizon Broadcasting Group, 854 Northeast 4th Street, Bend, Oregon, 97701. Inside Central Oregon is a public affairs presentation from Horizon Broadcasting Group.